Hey, this is Brendan Gersall from King's Church. Thanks so much for tuning in to our podcast. I pray this message you're about to hear empowers you, encourages you, challenges you, and equips you to live the life that Jesus has for you. Thanks for tuning in. We have a tradition here at King's where we take one Sunday per year and we just want to step back and we want to smell the roses. We want to look at some of the things that God's been doing. It doesn't sound as poetic when you call it an annual report, but it is an important practice that we have here where we celebrate just some of the highlights that God is doing at our church and through the ministry and life of our church over the run of a year. If you're new, and you're just visiting, or maybe you're new in the last month or so, this is a great Sunday to be here because you're going to find out what matters to us. The things that we measure are the things that matter. And I hope that this just moves your heart and stirs your heart, or at least gives you a better idea of what makes us tick and what makes us move as a church. But if you're part of King's Church, which is the bulk of you, this is an important weekend for us to take stock of what God has been doing and to be reminded about what matters most and what we're supposed to be doing as a church. So before we jump in, I want to give you a really quick what and why and how we're going to do this. What we're going to do is I'm going to walk us through our annual report. We're going to look at just some of the numbers and highlights and statistics of what God has been up to over this past year. And a couple important caveats. One, this is just some of what God has been up to. It truly is the tip of the iceberg. There's no way we could quantify or qualify just the volume of stuff that God has been doing. And another thing I want to just qualify as we get into this is what God has done. Yes, we have been part of it, and it's our joy to be part of it, but we want to boast in the Lord. More on that in a moment. The reason we're doing this, though, is because, I don't know about you, but I find for myself, I'm a forgetful creature. I forget what matters most a lot of the time. I easily drift out of my priorities, and if I'm not intentional to be reminding myself what matters most and trying to lean in with my life, I will drift away from those things. And so what we want to do is we want to lean in and we want to testify and we want to look at what God has been up to, believing that what gets celebrated gets repeated. I've found that to be true. The things that you celebrate are the things you're going to be more likely to do, and that's biblical. It says in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So whenever we testify to what Jesus has done, it is prophesying that he's going to do it more. Thank you for that, amen. This is going to be a Sunday to lean in, King's Church. You're going to help the preacher out. So we want to lean in today because we need these reminders. We want to prophesy and proclaim. C.S. Lewis said we need to be reminded way more than we need to be instructed. We have to constantly fight to remember what matters most. And this is why the scripture is full of commands to remember, commands to stop and take note, count the blessings of God. This is why the Jewish people had just like tons of like celebrations and commanded times of ceremony. It's to remember, to keep the main thing the main thing. This is why we're doing this. And we believe that praise and the proclamation of the goodness of God is a key to the presence of God. We've been talking over this past month or so about how do we lean in and how do we get closer to Jesus. Well, one of the ways we do that is through worship, is through praise. The Bible says that like praise opens the door, like God inhabits the praises of his people in a very real sense. Whenever we start praising the worth and glory of God, we find ourselves in closer proximity to him. This is why the Bible tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. So we want to praise God today, one, because we want to remember, but two, we want to draw closer to him. So how are we going to do this? Well, we're going to celebrate. We're going to acknowledge. We're going to honor. We're going to brag. We're going to boast. We're going to cheer, and we're going to praise. And now some of you, when I said brag, you thought, wait, aren't we not supposed to brag? Isn't that pride? It depends what type of bragging we're doing, whether we should do it or not. If you're bragging and boasting in yourself, that's a bad move. Pride goes before a fall. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But the Bible also tells us that we're supposed to brag on him. We're supposed to boast in him. Psalm 100 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Hebrews tells us to continually offer a sacrifice of praise. Psalm 107, give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Use your voice to say, God has been so good to me. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. So we're going to boast in the Lord today. The central text I want us to kind of have to frame us in today is this. In Psalm 115. Oh, there it is. Psalm 115 says, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and faithfulness. So this is going to frame in our approach today. So we're going to get loud. We're going to celebrate. We're going to use our hands. We're going to use our voices. We're going to celebrate. We're going to cheer. We're going to command our soul to feel some of what the kingdom of heaven is feeling. One of the things we prayed for before this service downstairs in our pre-service prayer room is like, God, help us not miss what you're doing. Help us match the joy that is in heaven for the things that are going on in our church. Let us not be numb to what God is up to in our day. Amen?
Amen.
All right, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so the annual report. Here we go. Hey, all right. All right. So if you want to, I'm going to let you get your phone out. You can scan this QR code, and it's going to take you to a beautifully put together report. It's going to be a PDF. You can follow along. I'm going to kind of track us down through it in real time, but this is there for you. And I do want to say this represents a lot of work, this report. Both practically speaking, I want to thank our creative team for putting this together, Fred and Shay and Tracy and Megan for gathering all the data that we've got for this report. But this represents a lot of work to have something so beautifully well and well done for us to enjoy and celebrate together. This report also is just the tip of the iceberg. I said it earlier, but it needs to be said again. This is not going to cover everything. There's so many significant stories and ministries that we're not going to highlight today, but we wanted to kind of give some of the high water marks. That make sense? All right, so let's look at the report together. We're going to bring that up on the screen. And it starts out, if you want to bring that up, guys, is it working? There we go. All right. Starts out with a letter from this handsome guy. We're not going to read that right now. You guys can read that later. I will say this. As of this month, my wife and I have served this church for 20 years. And I'm exhausted right now, just full stop. I will say that. But my conviction and my calling to be here and my gratitude that God called us here 20 years ago continues to grow. I love you. Stop it. No. I love this church. I love this church. And I'm Jesus proud of what he's done in these 20 years and that I get to be part of it. And so thank you for letting me pastor such an incredible group of people. And so my daughter's graduating and I'm exhausted. And so I'm a little extra emotional right now, but thank you for allowing me to serve you these 20 years. And I will say, we're just getting started. And I met with my mentor last month in Atlanta, Pastor Kevin Myers, and he goes, good job. You've served for 20 years, and you could call it a career right now. But he looked me in the eye and he said, you're way too young to let off the gas. And I believe that's true. And so I'm excited for what's next. All right, let's dive in. Let's get the emotions out, and let's just look at this together. We always start our annual report by putting the vision right in front of us. It is critical that we keep the vision clear. What is it we're actually trying to do as a church? And ultimately, we're not trying to just be a church. We're not trying to just gather people in rooms. That's not what the church is. The church is God's working model of the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. And so we say it like this. Our vision is to see Atlantic Canada as it is in heaven. We want to see the kingdom of heaven invade Atlantic Canada. We want every square inch of this region to be filled to the full measure of all the glory of God. As for us, we will work to see the kingdom of God invade. We want to be the answer to the Lord's prayer. Your kingdom come in Atlantic Canada as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen? So that's everything we're trying to do. As a church, what's King's Church all about? We want to give everything we have to see every square inch of Atlantic Canada, from the tip of Newfoundland to the bottom of Nova Scotia, all the way to the west, all the way to the east. God's called us specifically to this region, and we want to see his kingdom come. Some churches are called to a city, to a town. Our church has been called to this region, and that is why we have planted churches all around. That's why we serve the regional church. Our heart beats for Atlantic Canada. We know we've got some people in our online community that are in Manitoba, BC. We love you too, but our heart is for Atlantic Canada, and we want to see the kingdom of God invade. And the way that we do that, and the way that we're wanting to see that happen, happens through our mission and through our code. Our mission is ultimately this. How is the kingdom coming? At the end of the day, it boils down to people meeting Jesus and giving him their lives. So that's really why we're here. And that's why God has not come back yet. That's why Jesus has not returned. Jesus is waiting for people to be ransomed and redeemed. He's not being slow to come, it says in 1 Peter. It says that he's trying to give us as much time as possible for his church to get out there and take that great commission to all people so that the world may know who he is and that they would turn their lives to him and experience his salvation. That's why we're here. We're not here to make a club. We're not here to enjoy one another, although for the most part we do. We are here to see people come to know Jesus. Can I get an amen? Amen? That's what we're all about. And the way that kind of fleshes out, and the way we live out this vision of seeing the kingdom come and carrying that mission forward, is our code. These are our values. And we don't have time to go through all that today, but the report is going to kind of match these values. These values keep us centered on the main things. And what our values ultimately are what we believe is true about the kingdom of heaven. That these are kind of priorities and these are markers of the kingdom of heaven. And so we have chosen for 14 years now to hold on to these values and fight to hold on to these values. How many of you know your values got to be fought for? And you don't drift into those. Those are things that you got to contend for. And it's very easy to have values that are aspirational but not actual. And so we're constantly fighting, and that's why we're measuring this report up against these values. Are we bringing glory to God? Are we standing on the word? Are we walking in holiness? Are we raising people up and discipling them to be like Jesus? Is the Spirit of God welcomed and active in our ministry? Are we praying? Are we a praying church? Are we praying big prayers? Are we learning how to be intimate with God? Are we generous? Are we loving the world that God has planted us in? Are we a church that excels in honor? Are we a church that loves to outdo one another in honor? Are we on a mission? Are there actually people giving their lives to Jesus? Are we seeing baptisms? There are, and this, I'm not saying this to throw shade on other churches, but there are many churches all over this region that saw zero or one baptism per year. Y'all, we are not settling for that. We want to see as many people as possible come to know Jesus. And ultimately, we want to do it together. God has built this church. He built his church as a body. It takes all of us to do these things. So let's jump into our locations. If you are new here, maybe you're sitting in Charlottetown right now and you don't realize this, but we are one church in multiple locations. Currently, we have 5 plus an online group, but we are in KV, we are in West St. John, we are in Charlottetown, we are in Halifax, soon to be in Bridgewater, and we have a large group of people that are connected online. This afternoon, maybe you can take some time to read little notes that our lead pastors put in, but just a couple highlights for you to give you a bit of an overview of some of the stuff that's going on. Charlottetown this past year, we saw the Pastor John Robertson transition out. He's going on into a new career. We're grateful for the work that he did, and we are very excited that God has brought Pastor Bracton Wall to be our lead pastor in Charlottetown, and we're already seeing signs of really good traction happen and believing that the best is yet to come in Charlottetown. And we also, in Halifax, an update there, Halifax is bursting at the seams. and we are very excited about it. We sometimes get some of our people from other locations going in Halifax, and they just can't believe it's hard to find a seat. And we are seeing God do incredible things there, bringing new members to our team. Very excited that Pastor Jason has come alongside Pastor Seth. And then also something that our whole church should know and be praying about, Pastor Seth Fancy has also been serving in ministry for 20 straight years. And he is on, yes, let's give him some honor. We're honoring him, and he's probably not listening because he is on sabbatical. And so for the month of June and July, he's going to be off recovering and recharging, and we're glad that we could provide him that opportunity. And the team there is holding down the fort. Pastor Josh Forbes is there as well to help out. But we're really excited for Seth, and we're excited for what's next for King's Church Halifax. On the west side of St. John, it is poised for growth. I had an incredible conversation in a car ride with Pastor Adam this past week. And we are really excited about what we believe God's going to do in this next season at West. We haven't even scratched the surface of what is going to happen on the West side. And it's cool to see Adam really getting just motivated and excited for what's next. As you may or may not know, him and his wife Julie came through a very difficult set of months over the past year. Julie came through cancer, and she has a clean bill of health, and they are both very excited to be leaning in. We're also in St. Stephen, and St. Stephen is doing incredible things as well. One of the things I always laugh about is, like, at our staff meetings, we tell stories. That's pretty much what our all-staff meetings consist of, because we're so specialized, and there's people from different campuses and doing different things. So we're not really collaborating on stuff. We're more just telling stories and giving glory to God. And we love when Pete tells stories. When Pastor Pete tells stories, just the testimonies that are coming out of St. Stephen are truly remarkable. And the ministry that is happening with him, with Jonathan and Tanya and Shauna, and all the volunteers there are truly, truly remarkable. And we're really excited about what's next there as well. Also, it should be noted, we have, like I mentioned a moment ago, we do have a whole contingent of people that watch and tune in and lean in every single week online in real time. You're on right now. I want to welcome you, and we're glad for you, and we're thankful for the ministry of Pastor or Captain Ron and what he's been up to. We've had baptisms of people who connected online. It's incredible what's happening. It's a new day, and that's an incredible tool that the church has to be able to bring the gospel to people who may be not able to get out in person. Then, of course, we do have this location called The Valley. Good stuff's happening there, too. We continue to grow, see baptisms, see our ministries continue to grow, and just it's incredible, incredible days. I want to take a moment. And can we just honor specifically our campus lead pastors and the pastoral teams that continue to serve? Thank you. Come on. We have the best team. I hope you know how blessed we are as a church to have our pastoral staff. It's always an encouragement to me. I'll bring friends up from the States that will serve at our conferences. Even just recently at XY, had three friends from very significant ministries in the U.S. All three of them mentioned something along these lines. Pastor Ed Newton said to me as he was leaving, he goes, "Dude, God has given you the most incredible team." He goes, "I'd go to war with your team." I'm like, "Yeah, I am. We're blessed." I am so emotional. All right, let's keep going. I got to get through this somehow. On the word. We say we're a Bible church. Are we? I believe we are. One of the huge things that we do is we preach the Word of God every single week. And we want to go and be true to God's Word. We want the effective communicating of God's Word. And I'm really thankful for the way that God speaks to us through the pulpit. Week in and week out. We have on here just some of the stuff that we've been covering as a church over the past year. But did you know the number one indicator or factor of people connecting into a church is preaching? And we're really, and I'm not saying this about myself, I'm saying this about the whole team, we're really blessed as a church with the preaching ministry that we have here. And I do want to say there is a huge load of responsibility, and unless you've preached at this scale, you don't know until you know. There's a weight on it every single week that is very heavy. And I'm thankful for the other brothers and sisters that have come alongside and helped share that load with me. Specifically, I just want to thank
why am I so emotional?
Thank Pastor AJ Thomas for the work that he's been doing. It's been a huge gift to me. I'm trying to learn what it means to serve God with my life as God has opened up opportunities of influence, not just here in St. John, but not just Atlantic Canada, but across Canada and into the States and even into the UK some. I'm trying to figure out what it looks like for me to steward my ministry and how to run to the best of my ability. And God has gifted me to be able to run alongside Pastor AJ Thomas. And I'm so thankful for that. I'm going to be taking a preaching break after this week, so just stay tuned for that. But we have an incredible team of speakers that are going to be stepping in, and I'm really excited about it. All right, let's keep going. Built together. Built together. What does that mean? That's our language for our community. We don't want attendees. We want a church. We want people that attend a service. The church is not a building. The church is not a service. The church is? Oh, that was a chance for a slam dunk. I gave you an alley-oop. The church is not a building. The church is not a service. The church is? It's people. Yeah, it's people on mission, connected in community. And we want to measure that. How are we doing with people connecting in? Well, here's a few numbers that are quite fun. 1,500 people have attended some learning environment that we've put on over the past year, like our King's Academy, our Step Studies, our Alpha. That's a lot of people that are engaging in the life of our church outside of Sunday. We have over 2,500 people connected through regular gatherings like home churches and worship nights and King's Classic. This is an important one. I just wanted to make note of this. You guys are filling almost 1,600 volunteer positions at our church. That's incredible. Listen, our church could not be doing what it's doing unless we were doing it together. The job of the pastor is to equip the body to do the work of the ministry. That's what we're supposed to do. And we've been working at that over the past decade that, hey, it's not the pastor's job to do everything. In fact, the pastor's job is to raise you up and send you out to be ministers yourselves. And listen, we could not do it. We have about 5,000 people that call King's Church home at all of our locations. We have less than 50 pastors. So do the math. It's a 100-to-1 ratio. Impossible. But with you guys owning your roles and stepping into everything from serving on Freedom Prayer to altar ministry to parking lots to cameras, everything, that's what makes this thing work. And so I want to honor you and thank you for the incredible job that you're doing. There is no small job in the kingdom, by the way. Let me just say that. And so I want to honor you in the work that you're doing. Let's go to By the Spirit. By the Spirit. What do we mean by that? We believe that unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers work in vain. And we learned back in 2012 that there is one person that we need to make sure attends everything we do. Before we care about who else came, there's one person we want to make sure comes to church, and that is the Holy Spirit. We are a Holy Spirit church. And we want to see, every time we gather, we want to see evidence of the Spirit's work. We want to see the Spirit filling people, moving. We want to feel His presence in our gatherings. One of the best things we can hear a person when they leave a gathering is, I felt something different. I felt the Spirit. I love when I see new people come into our church and they go, "Why am I crying?" We're like, "We know why. We know why. It's the oil of the Spirit." And so we want to see the activity of the Spirit. And we are seeing it. We actually have hundreds of testimonies. We have a whole document full of testimonies. We're trying to figure out a way to actually make that accessible to everybody. So stay tuned for that. But there are some cool testimonies that we've included here. But there's so much ministry happening every single week. Things like altar ministry, things like freedom prayer sessions, our overall atmosphere. We want to steward the presence of the Holy Spirit well. Amen? And let me just... The Spirit of God is not some far-off, nebulous force. He is a person who is here. So let me say thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence and for your work in our midst. We ask for more. Would you just ask what? We ask for more, God. More of your Spirit. poured out in this church, that the world may know that Jesus is Lord. Thank you for your presence, and thank you for your work over this past year, we pray. In Jesus' name, and everybody who agreed said, amen. Amen. Love the world. One of the things we believe is that the gospel converts us into lovers. Let me say that again. The gospel of Jesus, when it takes root in our hearts, it converts us into lovers. It makes us like him. And if you read the ministry of Jesus and the gospels, you'll see that Jesus, even though he had this grand vision and this grand purpose of dying on the cross and rising again, and this huge big deal that he was doing, he still noticed need around him. And we want to measure that in our own church. Are we growing in our love for the people that God has placed us around? And so I am proud to say our church has done an incredible job this past year just loving and serving our communities. We gave over 5,500 meals this past year as a church, 1,550 lunches for kids, over 300 drives provided, 430 boxes of cereal collected. That's a big deal. We're loving you with Lucky Charms. Come on. Nothing says the love of God like some Cinnamon Toast Crunch brought to you by the people of Jesus Christ. 3,000 people or more were provided with clothing this past year. 275 non-perishable food goods given and collected to families. 47 turkey dinners provided at Christmas. 107 kids received toys at Christmas this past year. 400 Operation shoeboxes were given. So we're doing a good job loving the world around us. Love Week. Love Week. Remember that? we gave away $408,000 as well. So there was that. One of the things I think it's important that you hear, though, our church, we believed and we just committed to this years ago. We don't have to do everything, and we don't need to reinvent the wheel, and we don't need to create our own ministries for everything. Sometimes the best strategy is coming alongside someone who's already doing a good job. And so we partner with all kinds of great ministries all around the region. We also have multiple missions that we're part of, missionaries that we support, missions trips that we go on. Stay tuned for that, by the way. There's going to be missions trips happening this year. Every year we send missions teams, and some of you come after the fact like, I would have gone on that. We're going to try to do a better job of getting that information out to you so that some of you can join us for some of these cool mission trips that we do. But we're trying to love the world, and I think we're doing a decent job, but there's room to grow. Amen? Let's keep going. Radically generous. What do you mean by that? Well, this is about our generosity in the area of giving financially. And it's a big deal. It's a very big deal because it's a massive indicator of health. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so how we are doing in our area of generosity, it's a huge, huge thing we need to measure. And I want to just give glory to God to say for yet another year, we grew financially. We were up about 20% over last year, which is absolutely incredible. And we have continued to grow by 10. Here's the faithfulness of God. As we grow and we try to grow healthy, for the last 14 years, we have grown, our finances have grown by 10 to 20% every single year, which is just incredible. Glory to God. This tells me something. It tells us that God is providing for us. He's meeting every single need we have, not just as a collective church, but as individuals. He's providing as we put him first. He's taking care of us. And it's telling us he has our hearts. One of the fallacies around giving is that you think if I had more money, I'd give more. That's not true. Giving is a challenge at whatever scale of finances you have. And it actually gets harder every time your finances grow. It's a bigger test when the dollar amount gets bigger. And so to see our church continue to grow in this area is a real important indicator of health. This year, our total offerings at all of our locations was $5.4 million. And we gave to outside organizations. Again, we want to practice a church tithe of sorts. It's not really a tithe because you tithe to the church, but we want to practice that kind of 10%. You know, release. And so we gave $556,000, actually almost $557,000 to partner organizations around us, which great job, King's Church. You're doing it. All right. Are you still with me? You got a few more minutes with you in you? KC Kids, another sign of health in a church is that it's multi-generational. Come on. You can go into some churches and it's all gray hair or no hair. And you can actually, in these days, go into churches and it's all young adults. I did not sign up for that. I signed up to serve Jesus and to see his kingdom come and to see him establish his people. And his people are multi-generational, multi-ethnic. We want to see that represented in our body. And so we want to see all the generations growing and expanding and seeing God moving in them. And so I'm celebrating today our KC Kids. We love what God is doing in the lives of our kids. And if you're a parent that you've had a kid come through our kids ministry, you have probably been blessed at some point where they've said something true about Jesus, they quoted the Bible verse, and you saw the work that had been done in our kids ministry, and you became grateful for it. We have nearly 1,000 kids that are part of KC Kids that come on a regular basis. This also shows how people don't go to church every week, because we average about 280 per week. Of that, it takes 561 volunteers at all of our locations to serve our kids. It takes a whole army. So if you see somebody wearing a blue shirt, give them a hug, tell them thank you for what you're doing, because it's a massive job. And you know that statistically, a person is more likely to accept Jesus and stay with him if they meet him as a child. And so we want to lean in strategically and intentionally to our kids' ministry. It's a huge, huge priority for us. And so let's just do this. I want to honor our kids' pastors and our kids' leaders together. And a lot of them right now at all of our locations are serving in a different room. So here's what we're going to do. We do this as a staff. We like to do the old hip, hip, hooray. I heard some nervous laughter there. No, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're going to give a good old hip, hip, hooray. And we're going to do it so loud that our kids, pastors, and teams are going to hear it. All right? You ready? Are you thankful for what God is doing? Are you thankful for these leaders? All right, here, hold on. No, we're doing hip, hip, hooray. I'm serious. All right, for our kids' leaders, hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hey, all right. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. That's good. King's Youth, that felt good. We're all smiling now. Smiling's our favorite. King's Youth, how many of you know there's something special happening on our students, man? I watched it at one con. Why am I so emotional? I watched it at one con last week. 4,000 students. 4,000 in Atlantic Canada. And listen, more sacred than the number, you should have seen the depth, the hunger. And these kids, they know Jesus. Like they're encountering him at a level that I didn't until I was in my mid-20s. And seeing my teenagers and your teenagers, like knowing Jesus at that level, what a gift. Such a gift. And that doesn't just happen. You don't just say, let's do a huge youth conference. It's stewarded and it's built week in, week out. And our church is a huge part of that. And I want to honor all of our youth pastors, that are, like Pastor Devin, Pastor Zach, our team in Halifax. We're just so thankful for the work that you're doing. We have about an average of 250 students attending our youth groups every week. And of that, we have 624 students that are part of KC Youth. And that's an incredible metric of health, and it's also an incredible responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
Let's keep going. Also, we're praising God for what he's doing in our young adults as well. Salt Mine is an incredible ministry that's just beginning to grow, and we're thankful for just the way that God is meeting our kids that have graduated. And I'm thankful as a dad who's got a graduate who's going to live here in St. John next year that she's got a place to lock in and continue to grow in her faith in our young adults ministry. King's Academy. What's King's Academy? If you don't know what it is, King's Academy is our discipleship educational engine for our church. It's the space that, and the machinery that we've created to help train people in the truth and the way of the kingdom of God. And so we have courses and seminars, and we have a program called the Ministry Apprenticeship Program, which is 10 courses that people can elect to go through, where they're trained in theology, they're trained in leadership, they're trained in prayer, they're trained just the whole compass, or the whole scope of what it means to be a Christian and how to take that to the next level. And I'm celebrating this year. We had 18 people graduate, 15 through our MAP program. We had 3 go through our True North program, which is our gap year program for students that come out of high school. And so I'm just celebrating that. I do want to take a moment, if we got time. I want to take a moment. If you finished the MAP program this year, you finished your 10 courses and you graduated, would you just have some courage and stand wherever you are? I imagine we have some in each service. Awesome. Awesome. We got several in this room. Let's stay standing for a moment. We did have some people from our other locations too. I don't know if they're standing or if they're even at service today, but let's do this. At all of our locations, if you could just extend a hand, if maybe extend it towards the screen, or if you guys here at the Valley could extend a hand towards our graduates, let's just pray a prayer of blessing and commissioning over them. Father, we thank you for these men and women that have chosen to take a step of intentionality. Hearing the call, Lord, you said to Isaiah, "Who will I send?" And he said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Thank you for the yes in these ones. And God, thank you for the things that you taught them and showed them and how you grew them over this past year or 2 years even. We thank you for the dialogue that you've been having with them. And Lord, we thank you for the seed that was deposited in them. We thank you for the renewed minds that have happened. And Lord, we thank you that it's all ultimately under your glory and them saying, "God, I want to do with my life whatever you want me to do." And so, Lord, we just honor them and we recognize them in our community. We thank you for the work that they put in. Your word tells us study to show yourself approved. Lord, we thank you for the study that they put in. And Lord, we just honor them before you as leaders in this house. We thank you, God, that they have stepped forward to just take a humble, willing spirit to say, "God, use me." And so, Lord, we pray a commissioning blessing on them. Lord, we bless their ministry. We say, God, would you anoint them to do the work of the ministry by the power of your Spirit? Lord, would you open doors for them to be able to use the truth and the skills that you've given them over this past year or two? Would you open doors for them to be able to do it, God? Thank you that they already know their purpose is to glorify you and enjoy you forever. But God, I pray you'd help put the flesh on that for them in this season, and they would find themselves being given the opportunity to do some new things, to use the skills and the gifts that you've put in them for your glory. We just bless them and honor them before you. Our brothers and sisters, ministers, we thank you for them in Jesus' name. And everybody who agreed said, amen. Come on, give them one more round of applause. We honor you guys. All right, a couple more things to highlight and then I'm going to be done. Celebrate recovery, no big deal. We have two, what would I call them? I kind of view them as like pincers or like claws that are designed to grab people from an outreach standpoint. Celebrate Recovery and Alpha. And CR continues to be a huge, huge blessing to this church as we continue to see people coming in, week out, getting help and freedom from their hurts, habits, and hangups. And this past year, we averaged nearly 200 people per week coming to CR. It is the largest Celebrate Recovery in the nation, and it is a huge joy and a huge responsibility, and it's something we want to continue to steward well in the life of our church. It's a big deal that Jesus wants to meet people in the lowest time of their life often, and he's called us to be there with them. And that's a huge, huge honor and huge responsibility. And I'm really thankful for the teams that make that happen week in and week out. It's a hard thing to do something every week. Very hard, indefinitely. If I told you we're going to do special services indefinitely, you'd come to the first three. right? And then eventually it peters out. It's so hard to do things consistently over the long haul. And I'm so thankful for the men and women who have chosen to say, hey, I'm in this for the long haul. I'm just going to give myself to this week in and week out. And it's hard because people are messy. The sheep bite, y'all. People are messy, especially when they're going through addiction like that. And so I'm thankful for the people that have chosen to just get in the mess with people. That's what Jesus did for us. Aren't you glad? He wasn't like, ew. He got right in there with us, went right down to the depths of our struggles and our sin and our shame. And we want to carry that forward. And so that's why CR is such a huge, huge thing that we do here. I'm celebrating 35 people directly because of Celebrate Recovery. We're baptized this year. Yes, 47 decided to follow Jesus. So by my math, 12 of you need to be baptized. we'll get you next time. I'm going to put the gears on you at the end of service. You know it's coming. But we are so thankful. Take some time to read some of these testimonies. They're so encouraging. We also, Alpha, like I said, is another outreach thing. This is for the people who are asking questions and they want to find out more about Jesus and maybe they're struggling more from an intellectual standpoint. And so Alpha is this program that we run consistently throughout our year to help people ask those questions and to give them an opportunity to work things out in real time with people who will listen. And to give them the right information about what it means to follow Jesus. And it continues to produce incredible fruit for us. 371 people went through Alpha this past year, which is just awesome. Yes, come on. And we have so many stories of people who decided to follow Jesus, even recently. We just wrapped up another run of Alpha here at the Valley, and multiple people said, they indicated on the exit survey, I decided to follow Jesus with my life. And we are so thankful for that. Yeah, come on. That gives more than a golf clap. Actually, for it felt so good last time. For Alpha and for CR, we're going to do a hip, hip, hooray. Are you ready? Come on, all of our locations. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hey, it feels good. I enjoy that. having a little too much fun with that. All right, we're almost done. Here's a couple just grand scale. Let's zoom out. Couple more things. I want to make mention of our regional initiatives. How many of you know to whom much is given, much is expected? And God is not blessing this church for us to sit on it. I say this to the glory of God. There has never been a church at this scale in the history of Atlantic Canada. We are the largest church that has ever existed in these parts to the glory of God. But listen, if you're clapping, feel the responsibility in that. Like, God, let us not grow inward focused. And so we try really hard and we spend a lot, whether you realize it or not, we spend a lot of staff, like paid staff energy supporting the regional church, like outside of our walls. And we do a lot of things covert, a lot of things that other churches and leaders don't even know it was us. We just want to come. We want to see the kingdom come in Atlantic Canada, not King's Church. We want to spend King's Church. At the end of the day, there's going to be only one name and one church, one kingdom. And our job is to give everything to that vision. And so in some practical ways, we provide these large regional initiatives. So we lead the largest men's, women's, and youth conference in the country. I spoke at a graduation in Fredericton on Thursday night, and I had multiple guys come up to me in Fredericton and say, thank you for XY this year. Thank you for that. My life was changed because of that. And that's why we do it. It's beyond our walls. It's beyond our borders. We want to see the kingdom come. And so we run these conferences. Our church is the backbone of these things. Also, in the last year, we've launched the Atlantic Kingdom Alliance. Pastor A.J. Thomas has been running Point on that. And what AKA is it's a coordinated effort to network the regional church. It's to bring, like to be a catalyst that brings partnership, resource sharing, connection, information sharing, all of it, best practices, prayer. It's working to try to get the church to work together. And we wanted to create a vehicle that didn't have King's Church's name on it. For whatever reason, for some churches, that's a bit of a, I don't know, like it repels them. I don't know if it's intimidation or if they just don't like us. I'm trying not to take it personally. But so we created the AKA to be this thing that can just be bigger than us, doesn't have to have our name on it. And we give towards that. And we prioritize that. And we're starting to see really, really cool things develop. Partnerships happen, resource sharing happening, prayer ministries happening. It's a beautiful thing, and we're just getting started. We have over 400 people connected to the AKA currently, and be praying that God continues to grow that. You know, one of the things we could be praying for as a church is that God continues to break down walls of division in the church regionally. We just want to see those walls continue to come down. And he's doing it. He's doing it, but we need more. We need more stories. We need more stories of churches coming to other churches and saying, let's partner together. Let's stop competing. Let's work together. We need to see more churches ending well. There's a lot of churches that are selling their properties to become gymnasiums and bars and whatever. Like we need the church to get a vision that's bigger than their own local church. And we believe the AKA is helping to do that. It should be mentioned, the Back Corner podcast is awesome. No. Pastor, if you don't know what that is, Pastor AJ and I decided to create this podcast because it's a way that we can flesh out long-form conversations. We realize it's not for everybody, but there is a growing group of people that don't miss it. And it's been very helpful for some people to be able to have nuanced conversations, be able to have conversations that aren't buttoned up and we don't have good answers for, but to show in real time what it means to be able to think with the mind of Christ, to put the truth of God into mysteries and hard questions and, you know, political things and you know, cultural moments, all that. And so that's what the heart of that is. That continues to grow. We're going to keep doing it, although we're going to record our last one for this season tomorrow morning. But we'll be back in the fall, so don't panic. I felt the panic. I felt it. We'll be back. So that's the Back Corner. All right, here's the big one, and we're going to wrap up. On a mission. At the end of the day, I said it when we started. I'll say it again. At the end of the day, we're in this to see souls saved. It's a great place to say amen. We're in this to see people come to know Jesus. That's what we're trying to do. We are trying to get the word of God into people. We want people to hear the truth of the gospel. We want people to respond to the truth of the gospel. We want them to know Jesus and enjoy him forever, to experience his salvation. And so here's a few numbers that kind of point to how we're doing in that. It's incredible, but also there's much more that needs to be done. This past year, 189 people went into the waters of baptism. This is a cliche thing to say in church. If you go to any church, you know, in North America, you might hear them say this, but it's true. Every number has a name. Every name has a story, and every story matters to God. And so it's not just 189. It's Jeff and it's Mary and it's names that we don't know, but God does. And it's incredibly significant. 189 baptisms, 285 decisions to follow Jesus that we know of. So by my math, 94 of you need to be baptized. But I'm praising God for that, just the way he continues to grow us, to grow our reach, to grow the amount of people connecting. 3,100 people a week attend our services. And God's moving. God is moving. He's moving, and he's good. So here's what I'm going to ask of you. We're going to pray. We're just going to give God thanks. I want to ask you to lean in for a new season. I said it about CR, but it's true of the church. And I've said this to my wife over the years. I said, I think the number one challenge and the number one job we have to do is just to hang in there, just to be consistent, just to show up week in and week out, just to continue in it, to not grow weary in doing what is good, for at just the right time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. And so just not quit. And so I want to just say to some of you, maybe you're thinking of leaning back for a season. Rest is good. I'm going to rest. But checking out, don't do it. Lean in. And I'll tell you what, there's never been a better time to lean in and lock in and give your best to serve. Do the small things. Do the unnoticed things. Give financially. Give in prayer. Give in your attendance. You showing up matters. Can I just say that? You being in the room matters. Your presence matters. So I'm asking you to lean in. I'm asking you to serve. Asking you to lock in. Here's why. God could have chosen us, the people in all these rooms, St. Stephen, all of our locations. Look around the room. He chose us to be here now. In his sovereignty, he could have chosen to make you born in Afghanistan 400 years ago. You could have been born in Australia 3,000 years ago. Like he chose us to be here now for a reason, for such a time as this. Our life is a vapor. We have one life and then all of eternity. And so we want to not miss anything that God has called us to. Amen? I want to double down on it. I want to give him my best. I want to not miss anything. And so we're going to pray. When we stand at all of our locations, I want to pray. I want to pray according to Acts chapter 4. So this is the prayer the disciples and the believers prayed the first time they faced hardship, the first time that it got hard. For a little while, things were rolling really good after Pentecost, and then it got real, and it started to cost them something. And here's what they prayed, and I want this to be our prayer as we wrap up today. And now, Lord, consider the threats and grant your servants boldness that they may speak your word with confidence while you extend your hand and heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So, Father, may it be true of us. Lord, energize us. Lord, for the one who's weary, would you strengthen them? Lord, for the one who maybe if we're taking this for granted, God, would you give us eyes to see your kingdom, to see the one that you love? Lord, would you help us notice what you notice? Would you break our heart for what breaks yours? Would you free us from the trappings of this world? And help us give all that we can and all that we have and all that we are to see that the name of Jesus be known and accepted in this region and that it would shift society. So we say, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done in us here now as it is in heaven? And everybody at King's Church who agreed said, amen. Amen. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip. Hip, hip. Hey, thanks again for listening. If you found this helpful today, why don't you give it a share? If you need prayer or anything, we'd love to help you out with that. Why don't you go to our website at kingschurch.cc. Thanks again.